good to see you all this morning. Thank you all for being here. It's a special day. There's lots going on. We're in the last couple of Sundays that I'm here, and so you can imagine we're starting to pack everything in. And so we had several things that we wanted to do today, celebrating fathers, and so we hope that you'll join us after worship for our luncheon, celebrating and giving thanks for fathers and father figures in our lives. We recognize our teachers and give thanks to that. And today is a day for us to receive into baptism and membership folks who desire to be a part of Christ's family and a part of Christ's family here at Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. And so it's good to see you all this morning and glad that you all are here. I want to thank Michelle Vaughn and Lisa Marr for leading last week. The clergy, we were all at annual conference. And so, but I forgot to tell Lisa and Michelle that you have to go a half an hour longer than we normally do. They went, I think right now Ryan was saying that you guys were almost done around this time. Well, we haven't even gotten started yet, so we're going to roll as quickly as possible. So we are on a sermon series, and I called it Last Words, and it's just the last things that I feel like I can say for you all as we come to the end of my time here. It's hard to imagine that we're in the last 2 weeks of that. So grateful and thankful for all of the ways that you all have been supportive and encouraging in my ministry. Last week, we were at an annual conference, and I was standing up there as a superintendent designate, and it started to just sort of hit me all of a sudden that things were changing, and it was really difficult in many ways. And I got emotional thinking about the fact that that means that I'm leaving this church family. And so it is a difficult time, but also a very joyful time as well for you and for Pam and myself. I'm going to show you a picture. We're going to get started. Now, I have been here for 8 years, and many of you know that I'm a dog lover, and you know that you aren't going to leave until I get my last dog stories out. So here's my last dog story. This is a slide of, when it comes up, this is a slide of a pet adoption place called the Westside German Shepherd Rescue of Los Angeles. That was where we adopted our dog Kira, who we brought up here, and she died in September. But we thought to ourselves, if we're going to adopt another dog, we thought, well, maybe we need to adopt from the same place. We were thinking about it as sisterhood, and, you know, it's not, they're not related, of course, but somehow it just felt like it was the right thing to do. So we drove all the way. Actually, we flew to Los Angeles and drove back in a rental car to get this dog back. So this is the website that you look for the dogs. And so next slide. So we were looking through, and we came upon that picture. And that picture is a dog. They get these dogs as strays, and so they don't actually have names, and so they give them these names. So this dog's name was Annie von Arberg, the one in the middle. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what that means, but that was the name of the dog. And so I went down to the pet adoption place. Pam wasn't with me. She said, I love them all, and I couldn't pick, so you have to go by yourself. So I went with a friend of mine to pick out this dog, and that was the one that we came on. Actually, this was the second one we came on. There was another one that I asked about first, but the pet adoption place said, oh, we don't think that one is going to be a good match for you as you describe your family life. So I asked about this one, and they said, yeah, that would be, I think she would be a good match. So this is what the website looks like. So these are the pictures I'm looking at as it comes through. So go ahead and just kind of scroll through them, Steph. Okay, so these are the pictures of this dog. And so we saw the pictures, and we thought to ourselves, so now you might be asking, what is her breed? Her breed is actually what's called a panda shepherd. I had never even heard of a panda shepherd, but it's actually a breed of shepherd. It's a full-blooded shepherd that has a mutated gene that allows it to be white. And so she has a white, speckled, freckled nose. But it makes her look a little bit like a panda bear. And so these are the pictures that I looked at as I thought about pet adoption. So keep going, Steph, to the one that has me in it. So that's the last picture. And then that's the first picture that I took in her coming out of the kennel. So I was a little bit nervous, of course, and she came out, and she was a little bit skittish and a little bit afraid, but we met each other, and they asked me to walk down the street, and so I walked her, you know, to see if we had a good relationship and a good connection, and so then we went through the paperwork, and I adopted her, but the thing that was really interesting about it was when I took her to the car, my friend's car, when I took her to my friend's car, she came out of the leash, and I thought to myself, okay, what name do I use? I know you don't answer to Annie. I could call you Dog. I couldn't think of what I would do, so I said, come here. And luckily, the dog didn't run in the street, and we were able to get this dog back. So we got the dog in the car, and we had to stay overnight at a hotel, and then we drove back to Seattle. So we drove to Oregon and then stopped in Oregon and drove to Washington and brought this dog back. Now, all the while, I'm thinking to myself, we're just so blessed and we're so lucky. And I didn't really have a good sense of the dog's history. And then a friend of mine sent me a picture on Facebook. I'm not a Facebook person, so she sent me a picture that she had found on Facebook, and it's this picture. So go to the next one. So that was a picture of her as a stray. So it's a little bit hard to tell, but she's very dirty, and she's very sad. And if you look at the picture, so she was in a homeless encampment. And that's where a Good Samaritan found her in a homeless encampment and put her in this pet adoption place. And so over time, we started to learn a little bit more about her. Go to the next slide so you can see it a little more closely. She has a scar in the center of her forehead. And she was, if you saw the pictures before that, she was cleaned up and very nicely cared for. But this was the picture that brought her to the pet adoption place. Now, in many ways, we thought to ourselves, well, the dog has a backstory. And we didn't really know the backstory, but we're figuring it out by the way that she behaves. So one of the things that we discovered was she had a little bit of a growth on her chest. And so we touched it, and we asked the vet about it. And the vet said, well, no, this is not a growth because it's too solid. It feels to me like a pellet, which means that the dog was probably shot at. And so when I walk the dog, the thing that I notice about her is she does not like loud car traffic. And so when I'm walking her, if a truck comes up behind us, she gets skittish. She starts turning sideways because she wants to see the truck coming, which reminded me or made me think that she must have been caught in traffic without anybody watching over her, and she was loose in traffic. So that made me sad, too. And she came with some diseases that we had to work through. She had parasites and some other things that we had to work through, but everything seems to be fine, and everything is going well. So go to the next picture. So this is what she looks like now in our backyard. Her name is Kobu, and I'll explain that a little bit later, but this is a picture of her in our backyard. So go to the next slide. That's what she looks like. She's a funny dog because she's got a more serious kind of demeanor. You remember pictures of my other dog, Kira. Kira had this perpetual smile on her face. It was almost kind of a goofy-looking smile. This dog has a more serious face, but she's joyful and happy. But I'll go to the next slide. So that's what it looks like in my house sometimes. That's me sleeping, and that's Kobu sitting next to me. And then go to the next slide. And that's a picture that I just took yesterday. So I tell you all of those stories. I'm gonna get to the point. So as I think a little bit about this whole situation, the thing that was most important to me when I saw that picture, you can turn it off now, Steph. The thing that I thought about when I looked at the picture of her dirty and with the wound on her head and very skittish and having that backstory that I'm still trying to learn, the one thing that I told myself was that this dog is going to know that she's loved. And she will know, in fact, as well, that we are happy that she joined our family. And also that she would know that she is a dog that brings joy and happiness into our lives. So the name Kobu is actually short for a Japanese word, Yorokobu, which is a word that comes out of some New Year celebrations, but it's a word that means happiness or joy. And so every time I call her name, Kobu, it reminds me that she's our joy. And she brings us great joy. And she's, in many ways, our love and our happiness. But the word Kobu is an interesting word, too, because some of you who are Japanese and children who are children will remember that the word Kobu is like, Tankobu is like when you have a bump on your arm or on your head. And she had that bump on her forehead, so the name Kobu fit perfectly, both for the bump, but also for the fact that she is our joy and our happiness. Now, ultimately, I tell you that whole story because I think that's exactly what we are talking about here today. The scripture reading this morning of Jesus being baptized, the word that comes from the dove that comes down from heaven and comes from God is, this is my beloved. And that's exactly what God is trying to convey to Jesus and to those who are listening to this and watching this occurrence happen. They are hearing a word that comes from God that says, this is my beloved. And it reminds people of the relationship between Jesus and God. And it reminds them that Jesus is God's great joy and God's happiness. And he is as well the one who would continue to articulate the idea that we can all be a part of God's family. And that really ultimately is what is happening as well today as we gather together on Baptism Sunday. As we gather together for baptism, as we gather together to receive folks into membership, that is exactly the spirit we want to convey here today. When folks come to the rail and kneel here and we place our hands on their head, either recognizing their baptism or affirming a baptism and giving them that baptism, we want them to know that they are loved. And even more, what we want them to know is that they are received into God's family and that they are a part of God's great joy. And in that joy, they become, in their lives, what they've always been, and that is an articulation of the fact that they are truly beloved. As we gather folks together here this day, that's the spirit that you're praying for as we watch them come up, is we ask for God to continually articulate that message that they are loved by God. They didn't have to do anything to earn that love. They didn't have to do anything to deserve that love. That love was theirs from their birth. And they are recognizing and giving thanks for that love and the ways that it surrounds them and blesses them in their life. And they are a part of God's salvation history. They take their place in God's story in this world. And as they receive that gift, they find ways to offer back to God the gift of faithfulness in their lives. And so when we articulate that sense of belovedness, we do say it as grace. The idea that folks have to do nothing to earn that other than to just say, I want to be a part of God's family. I want to be able to proclaim that God loves me. But what's important about that is that there will be a time, whether child or adult, whatever we are going through in our life, there will be a time when we want to remember that we are God's beloved. Because there will be times when we'll face hardship in our lives. There'll be times that we will do things that we are not very proud of. There are times that we will find struggles and hardships happening in our lives. And there will be times as well when we are experiencing great joy. And when we do, we can say to ourselves, we are beloved of God. We are a part of God's family. And we can know that it brings God great joy, that we are God's happiness, and that when we live our lives faithfully and fully, we are bringing to God a great joy because it helps God to know that God is still actively engaged and working in this world. And so our prayer this day is, as folks come up, that we would do it in just that spirit, that we would remind them this day that they are God's beloved. They are a part of God's family. Now, as they receive that gift freely and openly in their lives, it is true that God accepts them just as they are. But as Angela described this morning, it also reminds us as well that that belovedness, it calls us to faithfulness in this life. We don't act out of faithfulness because we want to deserve God's love. We do it as a response to God's love. God has already loved us, and our great response is to go out and love others. Our response is to help others to know that they are beloved of God. Our response is to act with justice and righteousness and faithfulness in this life and recognize that that is the way that we as people who are beloved seek to go out into the world to be that transformative spirit. The transformative spirit that helps us to recognize that we are beloved goes out into the world and help to remind the world as well that God is present, that God is love, and that God desires for us justice and righteousness in this life. And so together, as we come to the rail, as we receive these folks in baptism and membership, my prayer this day is that we would be able to articulate that. And as a last word to all of you, my prayer is that this church would always be a place where you are both receiving that gift of belovedness, but that you are also offering that gift to others. It is God's belovedness that welcomes you here in this place, but it is God's belovedness that invites you to open the doors of this church to others so that they might come to experience that great gift as well through the ministries of this church, by the way that you fellowship, through your acts of justice in the community, by the way that you care for each other. You keep this spirit of belovedness alive. You keep reminding people that they are a part of God's family. And as you remind them of that, my prayer is, as a ministry, you will continue to flourish. And what you will find is that as you continue to offer that beloved spirit to others, that we would know that God's spirit is alive in this place, and that transformative power that brings us together in fellowship, it has the power to change this world. And so my prayer this day, friends, is that as we recognize what's being done today in baptism and membership, as we call them beloved and say, you are a part of the family of God, you are a part of the family of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, that we might also say as well, we as a church want to be a church of the beloved, knowing that we have received that gift, but we want also to go into the world to offer that gift to others. My prayer this day is that we would hold on to what we witness and experience this day. And as we do, it will remind us of who we want to be as a church and how we look at the future. If we look at the future through those eyes, as we continue to call others beloved, as we continue to offer acts of justice and righteousness as beloved, then what we will discover is this church, it has so much to do, so many ways that it is experiencing that gift, so many ways that the ministry will continue to flourish today and for the rest of our lives. My prayer this day is that we would receive that gift and offer that gift to others. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful and thankful this day for the gift of this belovedness. It is a gift of grace that you offer to us in our lives, something that we have not earned, something that we do not deserve, and yet you offer it to us because of who you are and how you love us. But our desire, oh God, is not just to receive that gift, but to offer that gift to others. We receive it as grace, but we offer it as faithfulness. We seek in our lives to go forth into the world to be people who are responding to that belovedness by offering kindness and care, mercy and justice and righteousness. And when we do, we know that this world will be transformed by your spirit that is alive here in this place. We pray, oh God, that as we witness the baptism and membership of folks who come to the rail this day, that we would be reminded that these are our beloved. This is your church, O God. And as we receive them into membership this day, we pray that they would know always that they are a part of your family, but they are also a part of the family of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. In all of this, O God, we offer our prayers and thanksgiving. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's join together. You may remain seated. Let's join together in the song called Now Thank We All Our God.